Hi, this is Pedlin Ron, and I am here at 91.7 WHUS and Stores, and it is time for Bicycle Talk. Bicycle Talk is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle advocacy, the upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, bicycle culture, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or would like to contribute information to the show, please call or text at 860-486-9487, or you can email me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. Also, if you're listening to us on podcast today, you can also email me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. And I just started, very exciting, a Facebook page. So yes, there's a Facebook page labeled Bicycle Talk, and you can look us up there too. I am always interested in your comments, so please feel free to do that. Got a few things going on today. I have guests in the studio, really exciting. Always love having guests in the studio. The National Cyclocross Race is going on. Oh, so exciting, great stuff. But I have to start, as I do every week, with Ron's Rant of the Week. So Ron's Rant of the Week, what do we do? It's timely here. So we're at New Year's, okay? It's a happy New Year to everyone out there. Hope you have a wonderful year in cycling. It's a beautiful thing. Unrealistic cycling New Year's resolutions. That's my rant today. You know, if you're thinking about getting out and riding a bike, you've been listening to Bicycle Talk and getting all charged up because, you know, I'm getting you psyched to go out and get yourself on your bicycle and get in shape and get out there and do it. Because this is kind of what I do. I motivate people. It's a fun thing. Don't set your goals so high. Just, you know, go out and ride down the street and back and go, hey, I rode my bike today. That's pretty cool. I no judgments here. No judgments whatsoever. What we're trying to do here is we're just trying to get you excited about being on a bike. Whatever you do is the best for you. And that's what you have to look at. You have to look at what the what works realistically for you. And I like to just be sure that people understand that unrealistic goals are just not a great way to go. So if you are a more seasoned cyclist, which I know I have a lot of you listeners on here right now, if you're a more seasoned cyclist and your goal is that you are now going to do, let's say, your first century, you're going to go out and you do your first 100-mile ride. Wow, big endeavor. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of effort. Make sure you plan it well. Just don't do anything unrealistic. Don't pick up that bicycle because all your friends at work decided to do this big charity ride, and now they're out asking for money, and they're raising money for it, and they're getting all excited about this. And you go, I've got a bike. I'm pretty good shape. I could do this. Don't do that. Please don't do that. Just take your time. Walk into it slowly. Get yourself comfortable. And, you know, work your way up to that level of fitness. If your first goal is to go race your bike, get involved with a local club. Don't try to do it on your own. There's just a lot of things that you can do wrong if you're not careful. So please, realistic goals, not unrealistic goals. Happy year in cycling. 2017 is going to be awesome. We're going to have a great time. And now we're going to move forward. So I have studio guests. This is always exciting. I got contacted a while back by an old friend of mine, Aaron Offsiani from San Francisco, California. And he was a former employee at Rainbow Cycle, which is pretty exciting. That's pretty cool. And he living in San Francisco. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, living in San Francisco. I've been there for 19 years.
19 years, wow.
Yeah, it's been a long time since the days of Rainbow Cycle.
Yeah. Those are good days, though.
Oh, they were, yeah.
Yeah, it's like there's a little following there. It's really kind of cool. Yeah. Very, very cool. And it's, so you're still riding your bike?
Yeah, still riding the bike.
Not only are you riding your bike, you're racing your bike still.
Yeah, I took a little bit of a break. When I moved out to California, I had a really hard time getting on a team. And I was like, well, after 18 years of racing, maybe it was time to call it quits.
Sure.
So I got into the motorcycle industry for a while.
Oh, did you really?
Dirt bike racing.
Oh, my goodness.
Rode motorcycle trials and stuff. And then had two kids. Started towing them around in a trailer and realized, hey, I remember this. This is fun.
It's familiar.
Yeah.
It is. It's really, really fun. Well, that's cool. So you have little kids. I ask this question to every guest who comes on the show, which I will also ask to my other guests. So you're going to have to think about this one while Aaron is talking about this. But the first experience you can remember with a bicycle?
Oh, man. First experience I can remember, and I remember it like it was yesterday, would probably have to be the first time I learned how to ride without training wheels.
Yay. All right.
Yeah.
Good thing.
A little orange bike, and I remember like getting it down. It was in a church parking lot, and then, you know, I was like, hey, can I go out on the road? And started riding on the road, and that was it.
Well, that's very cool.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Now, my other guest that I have in here is your mom. And I have Ellen Lang here from Wyndham Center, Connecticut. And Ellen, obviously you've been around your son for quite some time, and you know about his obsession for cycling.
I do.
And that's a beautiful thing. And I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Thank you.
And you are also a cyclist, because I see you out on your bicycle. I see both you and your husband out on your bicycles.
Yeah.
And I ride with your husband occasionally, which is very nice. And what was your first experience with a bicycle?
Well, I lived at that time in Navy housing. My dad was in the submarine service, and we didn't really have like a safe place to bicycle. So my first introduction to the bike was going to visit friends of my parents, and they had a daughter about my age. So I must have been about 7, and she lived in a very sort of rural area, back roads, that kind of thing. And that summer I just practiced and practiced and practiced until I could take off. So I was kind of late to get started. But
better late than never,
yeah,
right? Excellent. That's very, very good. Okay, so we got through the hard part, trying to remember things. Sometimes it's hard for me. Let's go on to Aaron. Why are you here?
Cyclocross Nationals.
Yay,
yeah.
Cyclocross Nationals. And for all you people that have been listening to me over the last few weeks, you can tell that I have an obsession with this sport, and I just do love the sport. And when I knew you were coming here, I'm thinking in the back of my mind, I've got to figure out some way to get you on the program, because I'm not racing it any longer. I'm just watching and also putting together courses and course design and promoting a couple of races, and that's kind of my end of things now. I still like to ride my bike off-road, but I just don't race anymore. I just don't have that kind of
Oh, you can totally
engine.
Get out there and do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's what everybody tells me. They're begging me all the time. Come on, Ron, come back out. Come on, back out and play. But anyway, so you're here for Cyclocross Nationals. Have you been to a Nationals before?
I did a Nationals when I was in my early 20s up in Massachusetts.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I can't remember which one it was.
Fort Devens.
Maybe.
I'll bet.
Yeah.
I'll bet. It was an old Army base or Air Force base up in, it had a couple of really sharp steep with barriers on the top. Do you remember any of that?
Yeah,
does that make
maybe.
Sense?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, I'll bet it was Fort Devens. I'll bet that's where it was. There were two places that were used for cross racing in Massachusetts. One was Fort Devens, and then the other one was Plymouth, obviously, the original. Back in the day when I was first putting together races, and Bill Sykes was putting together races, and Tom Stevens, the Plymouth area was used a couple of times for Nationals. But I'll bet it was Fort Devens, because it's about your time. When you were coming into it, I think it was at Fort Devens. Although there was a National, wait a minute.
There was one in Leicester, I think.
There was one, it was just north of Worcester.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was snowy. You remember that?
Yeah, I did neutral support for that race.
Oh, you
did? I
didn't
race that race.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you were doing mechanical support also?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, that race was a lot of off cambers like what we have in the Hartford race, except
Hartford is so much off
camber. It was snow on it, so it made it a lot more difficult. Because I first looked at that course when they were putting it together, and I'm thinking, oh God, another typical Massachusetts. I'm going to get in trouble here. The trolls are out there. Another typical Massachusetts cross race behind a school, flat, you know, fast, you know, and I'm looking at it, and then I am driving up in a blizzard to get there, and I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be good, and it was just no one could stay on their bike. It was great. It was awesome. So you were in a race that I was watching yesterday, which was the men's 40 plus.
Yeah,
right?
40 to 49.
40 to 49,
yeah.
Right? And you're going to be doing another race, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, Friday is the actual championship race. The age group's smaller. It's 45 to 49.
Mm-hmm. So you're you were just kind of using this as like a tune-up? Is that the idea?
It's more of like try to get an idea of what the talent is and what the course is like, you know, since we can't really ride the course that much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's try to ride it as much as you can. Plus, you're traveling all the way out here. Might as well get as many races in as you can.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's Connecticut, And as you probably had some memories come back, because New England racing is truly a different animal than some of the other racing. Although, tell me about racing out west.
Well, out west, I mean, we have a really big cyclocross scene in the Bay Area. It starts beginning of September and goes until, like this year, it's going until the middle of January. But it's warm.
You know, yeah, that must be nice.
The last race I did in the 18th of December, it was 38 degrees in the morning, and that was the coldest we saw. Like, you know, I actually had to race with arm warmers on.
Oh, you know? God. So really? Usually, really?
Yeah, usually the beginning of the season, it's 80s.
Okay, just to set this straight. We are expecting one of your San Francisco days today. We're actually going to get up into the high 40s today.
Yeah,
and that will be really nice, except for the fact that it's going to turn the what is left of the permafrost out there into a little bit more soup.
Right.
And anyway, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But wow, it must be nice to not ever have to deal with your course freezing.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about it, but you have to worry about like hard as a rock ground and slick. And so, I mean, there's differences, but it's similar.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. So how about the terrain? How is the terrain out there?
Terrain's different. You know, there's grass crits, there's technical courses. It depends on where you go. Some places have a lot more sand than others.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's a couple of promoters that love to put some nasty technical stuff in and some killer climbs.
Well, they must know me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, I've always been along with the theory of, you know, you really have to, you know, if you're going to race cross and you're going to develop riders that are eventually going to go to Europe where they're going to get a professional butt kicking, you should at least prepare them for what they're going to deal with. And if you don't send over your best riders, you're going to be embarrassed. We're going to be embarrassed anyway. We always are.
Yeah, but we're getting better as a country, I think, in cross.
What we are. I mean, yeah. we place in the top 30 now.
No, we're placing in some of the races. We're placing in the top 20, top 10.
Really? Okay. All right. I always thought that at the world level, we were always getting our butts kicked still. But
I don't know. Maybe wrong.
I don't know. Especially if there's 10 Belgians in the field.
Well, yeah, true.
The Belgians own cyclocross. I think I can safely say that they own cyclocross. Yeah. They're really just amazing. They have incredible skills, and they can ride through mud like no one I've ever been able to see ride through mud. They're just 4 inches thick, deep, and they don't get off their bikes. They just ride through it, and it's impressive to watch. So, Ellen, you were there as not only as Aaron's mom, but you were also there cheering because, you know, you're a cyclocross fan.
Yeah, well, which we is were part of the support crew.
Right.
Aaron's sister and I, we were, you know, lugging water bottles and holding clothing, and very important job.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
And keeping the car on to keep the heater on.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I know. The chances of hypothermia yesterday were elevated, definitely elevated for sure.
Yeah, it was a little damp.
Oh, it was a little damp. Yeah, so the weather, because, you know, if you're not here and you're listening to this on podcast or the radio station, you don't understand what we have of weather in front of us. It rained most of the day yesterday, and it really was kind of more of a, I would say, more of a typical soaking northwest type rain for most of the day, and then it came down pretty hard towards the end. But
yeah, it seemed to really start raining about the time they were staging us.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that great?
Yeah, it was
Don't
really
you love
fun.
That? Yeah. And everybody gets excited.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's 38 degrees and it's raining. Yay.
So Aaron, you look at a course like this, and obviously you probably did at least a lap pre-ride just to kind of check it out or at least walked around to see what you were in for. What did you think when you first got here?
Well, when I first saw it, before I got to ride it, I saw all the deep mudded ruts, and I was like, oh, I'm not a big fan of deep mudded ruts. But then when I read your Facebook page about how technical it was going to be, I was like, okay, you know, this would be good. So I got out on course, and it's like, wow, it's deep ruts, but it's frozen underneath, so it's actually easy to ride.
It's hard pack on the frozen.
It's kind of a big surprise.
The problem, the frozen is frozen, and the frozen eventually becomes ice, and then there's issues when you get to anything that's not flat.
Right.
Right. And even some of the flat areas looked like they were just sucking power out of people's
legs. Yeah,
there
was a couple of spots, like the turn after the pits before the first run-up.
Yes.
That was just, no matter what you did, it was just like...
Oh, God. You should just watch people. They go into slow motion when they hit it. You know, their legs would slow down about 10 RPMs or so, and you just see them just losing power into that section. It didn't look like fun at all.
But yeah, there was so much of the course was just... so much fun, off camber, crazy turns. And for some reason, in a lot of areas where people were suffering, I had great traction. And it was just a blast.
That's great.
Probably one of the hardest courses I've done in a really long time, and it was so much fun.
Yeah, I spoke to a mutual friend and cross promoter, Tom Stevens, about the course. We were putting up snow fence for a number of days in a row last week, you know, trying to put the course together. And he just, like, I know he was partially instrumental in putting together this course, but not completely. And we were talking. I said, "Boy, Tom," I said, this is really hard. I mean, I've seen some courses. This is really hard." He said, "It's the hardest nationals course," and he's gone to a lot of nationals. He said, "It's the hardest nationals course he's ever seen."
Yeah, it was good.
So if you're looking at it on a scale of, you know, 1 to 10, it's a 10. It's way up there. And I think that there was actually, I saw an interview online or was tweeted to me from Jeremy Powers, and he also indicated that it was an extremely difficult course, that he thought it had a lot of challenges.
Yeah, Sunday's race is going to be really interesting to watch.
Oh, Sunday's going to be so much fun. It's going to be so much fun. So anyway, Sunday's race, what we're talking about is there are races every single day throughout the week, and they all start around 8 or 9 in the morning, and they go through till about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. There are different categories, different age groups. There's junior races, and there's masters races and women's races and all these different races that are going on. But the final races on Sunday are the junior national championships, the women's national championships, and the men's national championships. So we're going to see the best of the best we're going to see in those races. And it's going to be an exciting day for sure. I can't wait to see how they're going to master some of that stuff, because, you know, they can ride on things. They can ride up things that I had no idea you could ride your bike up. I look at that and I go, really? You can ride your bike up that, huh? I was putting together the course in Hartford, and my crew is working with me, and I said, okay, and then we're going to go here, and I'm putting little dots of paint down, put a stake in here. They just follow me around like the Pied Piper. And we're putting this all together, and... they're looking at me and they go, this is a run-up, right? And I went, oh, no. Now they're going to ride this. And they go, how can they ride this? I said, come to the race. You'll see. It's dry. They're going to ride it. Don't worry about it. They're going to ride it. And they did. A lot of people were able to ride it. I get about 3/4 of the way, and then it's like, okay, I'm done. I go home now.
Yeah.
But we're going to see some incredible riders. And Jeremy Powers is going to be there, defending national champion. Just really, really fun. There's a piece in the Hartford Courant about him. Might have been in today's paper. There was a piece in there interviewing Jeremy. And so we'll see what he has to say. But yesterday there was also a video that was going around through Twitter, and one of the guys from Expo Wheelman was actually interviewing him.
Oh,
and getting, they were out on the road just riding, and, you know, he's just warming his legs up and going for a little ride. But they were talking about the course and the type of tires they were going to be using, and, you know, because it has some technical aspects to it, too. By the way, what were you using?
When it's deep mud, I'm a big fan of the Challenge Limus tires.
Yeah.
They seem to work when everyone else is struggling. You know, there's times when it's like, oh, I've got traction. I don't know why you don't.
Yeah. Well, the beauty of a narrow tire, you know, people say this, well, why don't they use mountain bikes? Well, you know, first of all, it's not a mountain bike race. A cyclocross race it's on a road-style bicycle with knobby tires and slightly modified geometry to make it work better off-road. And the skinny tires are faster because of two reasons. Number one, they're lighter, okay? Number two, they find hard ground better because they go down deep. And they grab on, and all of a sudden you have all this traction. It's really cool, and you can ride through things that are impossible. The years ago, we used to have a mountain bike festival in Massachusetts, first in Vermont, and then down in Massachusetts. And they used to have a mud pit, and it was a contest to see who could ride through the mud pit. And the guys with the mountain bike tires would get about halfway. The knobs would fill up with mud. They have a slick. They'd spin out, and they'd tip over in the mud pit. And of course, everybody cheered and drank more beer. But then the cross guys started showing up, and they'd ride all the way through it. And everybody's like, oh, my God. And they're, you know, 6 inches into mud.
Wow.
6 inches. But they found hard bottom because they could get down deep enough with the skinny tire. But there is an art to picking the right tire, isn't there?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely an art.
Yeah. And a dry race will require an entirely different tire?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have as many tire selections as a lot of people do. When it's dry or even moist, I'm a big fan of the Challenge Griffo. It seems to be the all-around tire.
That's a standard. That's been around for a long time, too.
It works really, really well on grass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And these are tubular tires, correct?
Oh, yeah. Always have to run tubulars.
Okay. For those of you who aren't aware of this, a tubular tire is a tire that is actually glued onto the rim. It is not a standard tire with a tube in the inside that you can see and maintain that way. And major reason is, why would you ride tubulars over clinchers?
Well, the main reason I do it is because you can ride it flat.
Right.
You know, I've got a bike in the pits, unfortunately not at Nationals this week. But if I get a flat, I can ride it to my pit bike, where I know a lot of people are going tubeless now. It's still a clincher. You ride that flat, you're going to ride it for about 15 feet before it rips right off the rim.
Hmm. What size frame do you ride?
I ride a 56.
I have a 55 Richie, if you would like to have a pit bike.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about
that. We need to talk about that.
Yeah.
We should talk about that. It's really nice. It's a Swiss Cross steel frame, fork, very nice. And it does have clinchers on it, so you would have to decide whether or not you had to deal with it. But if it's a pit bike, you know.
Yeah, if it's a pit bike, hopefully you don't
it's better
use
than
it at
no
all,
bike,
you
know? Right?
Right.
So, yeah, we should talk about that. Yeah. We should definitely talk about that because it would probably fit you just fine. And I love that bike. It's my favorite. I like it better than my road bikes. That's a funny thing about cross bikes. I don't know what it is. They just feel better.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know that? You understand that?
Yeah,
what
absolutely.
Is it? What is it? Why is that?
I don't know. It's probably the geometry. You know, it's a little bit more laid back.
A little softer, a little more comfortable, a little more forgiving.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, it's a good thing. It's a beautiful thing. Now, Ellen, you must ride a cross bike, right?
No. I have a road bike and a mountain bike.
You do? Okay.
Aaron is my technical advisor, so he picks out the bike for me.
Good.
So. I have a Specialized Dolce,
mm-hmm.
and that's the road bike I ride.
Yeah.
And then I have a very old, I'm older, have a very old mountain bike that I've had since like mid-80s, I think, but it's like perfect. I love it.
So are you like a mountain biker? Do you go out and ride on the rough trails and drop off on things and all that?
Oh,
Are you more of a rail trail mountain biker?
Yes, I'm a rail trail mountain biker. That's what they made the rail trails for, right?
Right. Well, you know, I'll tell you, the rail trails are great. And we live in a real luxury of an area for rail trails because we have dirt rail trails, which is the way they should be. But there we go. I'm giving my opinion out there again. But I love the dirt rail trails. They're better than the roads. Some of them are smoother than the roads are. Have you been on any of the rail trails out here?
No, because it wasn't rails trails when I lived out here.
Right.
It was just old abandoned railroad beds.
And riding over the ties.
Yeah.
I used to train on those with my cross bike. I would go out and I would ride on the trail as long as I could stand it. Until usually I would run into a crossing of either a power line or a gas line. And then I would get off and I'd go ride around on the motorcycle tracks, you know, where the dirt bikes were riding. And then I get back on the rail line, bounce my way back. So that's kind of, I remember when the ties were still in and they were abandoned, but there it was. Now we have these gorgeous trails.
Oh, aren't they?
Oh, and it's getting better. There's a lot of things going on. We got a new bridge in Willimantic recently, which is connecting the airline trail further out to the east and also heading out. It goes out as far as East Hampton, Connecticut, and it goes up as far as Pomfret, Connecticut now. And you can be on the trail the whole way, which is great. No cars, just trails. And we won't get into trail riding today. I have spent an episode or two talking about riding on rail trails and proper etiquette and people who use them for the wrong things. But we'll leave that one alone today. So you ride your mountain bike on the rail trail.
I do. Yeah,
good. And you get out a few days a week when the weather's nice. Is that what you do, or how much do you ride?
That's the goal.
That's the goal. All right. Yeah. Back to that New Year's resolution rant that I had, right? Yeah. Unrealistic goals and realistic goals.
I had some health issues, asthma issues last year, but now I'm under great control, and it makes such a difference. You know, if you're trying to ride your bike and you feel like you're wading through deep water, it just isn't enjoyable. So it's much better since the asthma.
So you were riding
control.
With asthma, and how did you resolve that with an inhaler, or how do you resolve that?
Yes, a new physician and a different inhaler, and it's made just an incredible difference. So I'm really looking forward to this summer.
Wow, nice, very nice. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you out there. That'll be fun. It'll be really fun.
Yes.
And then your road bike, you just do you ride that more than the mountain bike?
Yes,
or?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. I find that the rail trail is my place to ride when I either don't have a lot of time and I just want to go out and get a short ride in, but I don't want to hurt myself. I can go out, I can ride really easy. It's flat, it's nice, and I love the rail trail. I ride my cross bike on it. It's really fun, but it's also if you just get a day that you don't want to deal with cars and trucks, it's kind of nice to just hop on the rail trail and go out and have a good time with it. Plus, you can go long. I mean, you can ride. If Fran and I leave our house in Mansfield Center and we ride down to the rail trail, which is about 2 miles from our house, we pick it up in North Windham, we can ride all the way out to East Hampton and back. It's over 50 miles.
Wow.
By the time, yeah.
That's pretty awesome with no cars.
No cars. No cars for over 50 miles. So, and then we've gone the other way up to Pomfret Station and back, and that comes out to be around, I think out and back by the time we get done with that ride, it's 25 or 30 miles. So we like to ride up to We Like It Ice Cream, though, and get an ice cream and ride back, because that's why you ride your bike.
I know.
That's it. We ride to eat. It's a good thing. So anyway, rail trail's good. Real good. That's great. So Aaron, did you do a lot of racing this fall to prepare for nationals?
Yeah, I started the season late. I didn't start racing until the end of September, but then I'm racing every single weekend. Yesterday was my 21st race of the season.
Wow.
So trying to race as much as I possibly can.
That's a stack. That's a lot of races. Yeah. We used to, be really lucky if we could find that many races over a 3-year period of time.
Right, I remember the season used to be really short. Small.
Really short. Yeah, yeah. And
for a while, it was just the New England Point Series, I remember.
That was basically it. Yeah. And what happened was, it was when Tom and Bill and I got together and, wrapped the races around one another so that there was a race every weekend. You could go back and forth between Massachusetts and Connecticut, and you could race your bike. And then the one race up in Vermont that Neil put on up at the West Hill shop with that amazing downhill into the cornfield.
They still put that race on, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, that's a very good race.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that was a treacherous downhill on that thing. It always took people by surprise. And then you had to ride across the cornfield, which was muck. Yeah. It was just soft and really difficult. Yeah. I think the cornfield's gone. I think that they either the farmer no longer allows them to use it, or it got developed or something. Somebody told me the cornfield's history. Yeah, it's no longer part of it. But the race is still there.
That's awesome.
So that race still exists. Mansfield Hollow still exists. And there's still a race in Plymouth. So, those are three races that were really born back in the early 80s.
Yeah.
And they're still there.
That's good.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. Then we have these, giant races here, too. We have Gloucester, which is just an enormous race, probably the biggest race, almost the biggest, if not. It's between that and the KMC CrossFest, which was in Providence. It was in Thompson this year. They're big UCI races, a few thousand people showing up to them. So they're big races, 2 days in a row, big time.
New England definitely seems to be the epicenter.
We got a lot going on out here. It's pretty cool. I remember putting on the Mansfield race one year, and I was walking by registration, kind of checking, make sure everything was all right, and I see this guy signing in, and I don't recognize him, but I did recognize him. It's like you knew something was familiar about him, but you couldn't put it together. And the guy's name was Gunnar Sjogren, and he was like national champion mountain bike racer. He was really, really good mountain bike racer. And I looked at him, and I overheard him say, Gunnar Sjogren, and I went up and went, excuse me, Mr. Sjogren. And he turned and looked at me, and I said, Hi, I'm Ron Meniza. I'm the race director here. Why are you here? and he kind of laughed and he said, I'm here to learn how to ride cross. And I said, here? And because I was like kind of surprised that he would be at a low key race like that. And he said at that point I was down to one race a year. It had pared down to going from four races a year down to one race a year. And he said he had come to New England with another friend of his who was also a top-level mountain bike racer. They were racing for Diamondback Bicycles back then. And he said that they came to New England and had worked out an arrangement to stay with different people throughout the fall season because they wanted to learn about this cross thing, and they were told that New England was the place to do it.
Yeah.
And the Nationals were the following week in Plymouth. So this was my race was the last race of the series, so to speak, and then Nationals were the following weekend, and he told me, by the way, he said, I have to tell you something. I said, what? He said, I'm really excited to be at your race. And I said, why? And he said, everyone talks about it. Everyone talks about this race being the one. And I asked him why, and he said, everyone says it's the hardest race in New England. And I think it still has a reputation for it.
Now, the course has changed quite a bit, though.
It's changed
right?
a lot.
You don't
yeah,
go down by the water.
We softened it up.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like it. And after seeing what they did in Hart for the Nationals, I think we need a reset. I think we need to put it back to what it used to be. That's what I'd like to see. But, you know, I don't have complete control of that. So, if I were king.
Yeah, well, these days you can't put in as many barriers as there used to be.
No, there's all sorts of rules involved with that. A couple of man-made barriers only. Everything else is artificial or is natural. But the beauty of Mansfield, we have some natural areas that we can play around with.
Yeah.
We definitely have that. But you know that really steep run-up we used to have with the stump at the top?
That one had the wall at the top, too.
Yeah, well, you can't do that anymore. That's way over regulation, that wall. I cramped on that wall really bad on the last lap one year. I remember stepping up on the wall and just, like, my quad just locked on the top of it. And I went, uh-oh. And then it was, like, kind of, like, limp onto the bike, get on the bike and start pedaling again, and my leg came back and I was able to finish, but... Yeah, that the wall's gone.
Yeah.
The wall's gone. The deep sand down to the reservoir. I love that. It was great.
Yeah.
And then I got a warning from USA Cycling officials that said, you know, you shouldn't bring them all the way down the water. Someone's going to fall in the lake.
Oh.
And I went, isn't that the point? And they went, no, we can't have that. You need to bring it up higher, and you need to put snow fence up here now. It's, oh my God, ruined the whole thing. And you know, I had guys come up to me afterwards and say, you know, why'd you take that out? That was such a cool thing. I saw somebody just like dump it right into the lake one time. And I said, I was told that I had to. And they're like, ah, oh. You know. So one of the McCormick brothers, you remember Mark McCormick and Frank
yeah.
McCormick?
Yeah.
Remember those guys?
Absolutely.
They've come back over the years. I see them occasionally.
Yeah.
Yeah, they both have come back and won it,
That's
you know,
good.
At many, many years later. And they've come back and won it. And, you know, Frankie said to me, he said, you know, he said, you should do Mansfield as a two-day event. And I said, well, I said, that's a lot of work, first of all. And he said, yeah, but different than everybody else does. He goes, instead of doing it as a two-day event where it's, you know, just two long courses like you have right now, and maybe you run it in the reverse the next day or whatever, because some events do that. He said, I think you should have an old school race the first day.
Oh, that would be amazing. Have like a Mansfield Classic.
Yeah, with 1 mile loops and nine dismounts per lap.
Yeah,
what do you think?
Down into that mud pit before you went into the sand.
Yeah. Was that good?
Yeah.
Wasn't that great?
I'd travel out here for that.
Would you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. All right. Well, maybe we'll have to talk about that in the future. That might be a fun thing. Put on the classic. And you know, I mean, I'm sure people will show up and put their bikes back in their cars and drive back home after they see the course, but the heck with them, you know?
I don't know. I mean, they're cross racers, you know? You would think
I get complaints.
30-degree rain, people wouldn't race in the full field, you know?
Yeah. I've had complaints. I had three guys that came down from Boston one year. And they rode around the course, and they got back, and they said, are you the promoter? And I said, yes, I am. And they said, this isn't a cross course. This is a mountain bike course. And I went, oh, really? And they went, yeah. And I said, well, did you bring your mountain bike? And they go, well, why would we do that? I said, well, if you bring, you can ride your mountain bike. I'll let you do that. That's fine. You can do that. Well, I wouldn't ride my mountain bike. It's not fast enough. I said, then it's a cross course, isn't it? And they were like, you know, grumble. And I said, look, you just go over the registration, tell them Ron sent you, ask for your money back, tell them that I said it was okay, and put your bikes in your car and go home. That's fine. I'm good with it. They didn't go home. They stayed.
Yeah.
They rode the race. But, you know, we it does have a reputation of being, it's as one high-level racer once told me, he said, it's the race of no rest. He said, you never get a break in that race.
Well, it's like yesterday's course.
Yesterday was classic.
It was like no rest.
It's kind of exciting because it's a, you know, it's the introduction of Connecticut Cross to the world.
Yeah.
Because no one really understands that we have a thing here. We, you know, it was developed a number of years ago. We actually have a Connecticut series of cross. There are 8 races involved in it now.
That's awesome.
Just in Connecticut.
Yeah.
So, and then, of course, all the stuff all over New England. Biggest problem we have is that we have a lot of conflicts as far as, you know, dates go. Because, you know, there'll be 3 races going on the same day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's how big it became out here. So I'm not trying to influence you into moving back to Connecticut, but yeah. I know your mom would like that. And it would sure be nice to have the grandchildren a little closer. I'm trying to help here.
Don't think it's working.
It's not going to work.
When you live in San Francisco. You
know. I understand. Yeah. You definitely have better weather than we have.
Yeah, when it's February and I only have to wear arm warmers.
Oh,
and it's crystal clear.
I don't want to hear
riding
it.
Riding over the Golden Gate, you know.
Oh, man. I don't want to hear it. So you ride over the Golden Gate?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Is there an enclosed safe lane there or something? Or?
No, they have a pedestrian walkway on both sides. In certain parts of the day, you have to share the east side with pedestrians, and then certain parts of the day, and then weekends, you get to ride on the west side with just bicycles.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've ridden over it.
Have
I
you?
Yeah.
Really?
And we have the grandchildren, yeah.
How exciting.
Yeah, very cool.
So with the grandchildren, you mentioned something earlier about a trailer. You pull your kids in the trailer?
I used to, yeah.
You used to?
Yeah.
Are they getting too big for that now?
They are way too big for that.
Yeah. How old are your kids?
4 and 7.
4 and 7, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, by the time Greg was 4, I was trying to put him on a trailer bike, and not in the trailer any longer, because he was getting heavy.
Yeah.
Gets a lot harder. The hills get real
the
big.
The hills are horrible. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But great training for cross. I mean, think about the mud that you rode through yesterday and how hard it was. And, you know, you just go, no worse than pulling that trailer up the big hill. But now, San Francisco, hills.
Yeah, we got a lot of hills.
You have, like, monsters there.
Yeah.
And they're not long, but they're just steep.
They're steep, yeah. You kind of pick and choose your way through the city.
Yeah.
There's ways you can get all the way around the city and, you know, have, like, 1 or 2 climbs.
Because there's got to be, like, 20%ers out there, right?
Yeah, there's some. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. So you just kind of work your way around them? You don't just go out there and be an animal?
Yeah, no, it gets tiring being an animal after a while.
Yeah, you know? I'm sure. Good cross training, though. Good for getting ready for cross season.
Yeah, and we have Golden Gate Park, which is a fantastic place to get ready for cyclocross.
Really? Tell me about that. What's it like?
It's a huge park, lots of trails, a bunch of sand. There's a really good sand section that you hit that a couple of times before the season. You're ready.
Nice. I've been eyeballing our local park here, Schoolhouse Brook Park in Bicentennial Pond, as a potential cyclocross park.
Oh, wow.
A nice place to put on a race. Because there's, you know, there's the pond, and there's a huge beach, and it's all sand.
Oh, nice.
And it would be difficult,
yeah,
for sure. When I do the Hartford race, you probably saw it yesterday, there's a volleyball court there.
No, I didn't.
I don't know. You didn't see it. No, you're too busy paying attention to everything else. There's a volleyball court there, and we pulled the nets down, and they allow us to use the court, and we do a half moon from corner to corner all the way.
Wow.
Yeah, it's.
So it's, is it rideable?
Sure, it is. Yeah. Everything's rideable, right? It's flat. It's got to be rideable.
Right.
And, you know, it's September, so we don't have any mud. So we don't have, you know, the same conditions that you guys had. It was so dry, and we've had a very dry summer here, really dry, to the point of drought. We're having issues, which we never talk about here in Connecticut, especially in eastern Connecticut. But we've had drought conditions. And So the sand, you know, replicates mud in a different way, but it does give you that same, you know, suck the power out of your legs kind of feeling. And anyway, so I decided that, you know, anytime I can use sand, Mansfield Hollow is a prime example of that. It just really changes the course a lot, changes the way you think about approaching it. And when you see something like that up in front of you, how do you deal with that if you know you have something that's going to be really demanding on your power?
It depends on what it is. You know, if it's deep mudded ruts, I just try to do the best I can and just trug through it. You know, look for some kind of dry line on the edges of the tape.
Right.
If it's sand, I usually get pretty excited and try to ride it. If it's a big sand section, you know, try to ride it as long as you can, but then get off as fast as you can. You know, like not wait till you come to a stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the really technical stuff, you know, it's just I get excited and try to find the best line and hope that people around me can't do it.
You know, I have described, when people ask me to describe cyclocross racing, what's it all about? What's it like? And I say it's a race of decisions. See how this fits for you. And the decision you make on one lap can be entirely different than the decision you make on the next lap.
Well, especially if, like yesterday's race, you know, the conditions are changing every single lap. So what was a good line the previous lap, it's not even there.
Right, right.
You know, so you're like, oh, I got to be over here now. Oh, no, wait, no, over here now.
Or if you look at that wonderful viral video that I put out yesterday, you can see that the line becomes the place where everybody slid on their butt all the way down to the bottom of the hill, and it just what was a line that you could ride down became a slip and slide. And
I mean, it was still a section where you knew the front, what, three or four guys were riding it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were.
But everybody else.
Well, they were riding because they knew the line.
Right.
They knew that the line was to go to the very, very top. There was to describe the course, because we are on the air on the radio, and it's kind of hard to see this. If you there was probably about, oh, I don't know, maybe 15 feet or so between the very, very top of the course and then the turn on the course. It was pretty wide up there.
Yeah, it was really wide.
And the ticket was to not get on it at the very bottom, but to get on it as high up as you could. And if you did, then you could ride the line down. You wouldn't have trouble with the turn. The people that were having the biggest trouble were the ones who were turning right at the corner tape.
Yeah.
And they were turning at the corner tape, and the bike was just, it was permafrost underneath there. The bike would just slide out, and now they're sliding down the hill.
Yeah. Well, what made it hard, too, was running, traversing the levee in, I mean, that section of mud. You couldn't really step where someone else stepped, because then it would slide out.
Right.
So you're like trying to find some place where no one else has run. And then by after the first lap, you weren't really running. It was sort of like a fast walk with your bike. Yeah, that was just
the lap times.
Brutal.
How do you know what the lap times were? Do you know what you were doing for lap times?
My first lap was like 11:50, I think, 52, something like that. And then
that's
my last lap was like 16.
Yeah.
16 something.
Wow. Wow, and there's an indication of how conditions can change things.
Yeah,
over the time.
The south section of the course, which was so much fun and really technical, the last two laps it wasn't even rideable. You know, you had to run the whole section.
Really? Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And that's a nice flow area on the course. That's really kind of cool.
Yeah.
I did a thing down there by the river too. That section down by the river there, it turned into a pretty soupy mess down there yesterday too.
Yeah, it turned into like thick clay soup. Kinda.
Yeah, it's nasty stuff. Perfect.
But yeah, the frozen ground. I mean, there was some puddles you would ride through, and all of a sudden you'd be on like perfect. It felt like glass. And you're like, oh, I'm riding on ice.
Uh-oh.
I know I'm on ice.
Yeah.
You know, and occasionally your wheel would kick over a little bit. It's like, oh, this is awesome.
Wow. All right. See, this is the difference. You see, now I see your mom looking over at me like, oh, man, these guys are nuts. But this is what it's all about. It's like cross is like you see stuff that's really technical and really hard. And you get excited over it.
Yeah.
You get to a point where you just want to, like, do more of it, you know? And let's bring that on. Because you're watching, like, you'll be with a rider. I always enjoyed this part because I've never had the big horsepower and big engine that a lot of people have. But they would, you know, just blast by me on the flat sections, you know? And just like, bye, see you later. And then when we get into the technical stuff, I would just worm my way through them and ride on out. And eventually they got worn down because they would have to keep chasing you and catching up. And then they weren't there anymore. And you're like, okay, we'll knock that one off the list. We got that one done. Now we go, you know, now we'll see who else we can get rid of. And it's that's the game. That's
Yesterday's course had that, like the section near the pits, where I would lose ground there. Mm. But then it's like, as soon as we get into the woods, like I got them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you've always had those skills. You raced mountain bikes, did you not?
Yeah, but I raced cross long before I raced mountain bikes.
Oh, you did?
You're the one that got me into cyclocross.
Is that right? Yeah, am I the one who did that?
Late 80s, I think.
I'm the guy who's responsible for that, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I get a lot of people into cross. I find that my situation, my explanation of cross is that everybody knows how to ride a bike, but until you've ridden a cross bike and really ridden a cross bike, you really don't know how to ride your bike. And what it does for your technical skills, like riding on the road, I will say the same thing about mountain biking. I think mountain biking is really good for you because it enhances your skills. It teaches you how to deal with your bicycle when your bicycle is not completely in control, or you're not completely in control of it. So it just teaches you things that are really beneficial when you get on the road.
Yeah, I mean, you get used to your bike doing whatever it wants underneath you.
And not freaking out.
Right, yeah, so it happens on the road, and you're like, oh, what was that? You know?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I've had my back end kick out on me on a corner because you hit a little sand, and you know, you just kind of ride through it.
And
I've had people come up to me and go, oh, my God, how'd you do that? So how'd I do what? I saw your back end go out. I thought you were going down. I said, down. I'm not going to go down. You know, it's the old motocross. You said you did motocross. The old motocross rule is when in doubt.
Yeah, give it gas.
Right? That's it. And it's the same thing on your bicycle. So if you're riding on a dirt road or a rail trail or something like that, and you get into some soft sand and you're riding along and you feel like you're losing control of the bike, loosen up your grip on the front end of the bike and put the power to the rear wheel and everything comes out fine. Like driving in snow.
Yeah, sort of. I haven't done that in a long time.
Yeah, I was going to say, you probably don't have that experience very much anymore,
yeah,
do you?
Yeah, not anymore, no.
You might in a couple of days.
Yeah, maybe.
There's a chance of some very light snow. I don't think we're going to get a lot.
Yeah.
The big thing that is going to affect the cross race in Hartford is there's going to be a really deep freeze coming at us. And if it gets here early, which I never believe the weather forecast, they're talking about early next week, so... I would never count on that. I think it's going to hit us on Sunday. I kind of play around with the weather. I watch it. And if it hits on Sunday and it goes down to the temperatures they're talking about it going down to, that everything's going to change because the talk is that at night it could go down to single digits.
Because all the ruts will freeze.
Yeah, everything's going to freeze. Yeah. I mean, it's just going to be a mess. And trying to ride through that, we had a nationals in Providence a number of years ago, and I remember I was going out to it because I was working in an industry tent then, and so I was going out there to do that, meet some people out there. We were going to set some things up and, you know, be there for the race, and they were driving down from Canada, and I was driving from Mansfield over to Providence, which is an hour drive under normal conditions, and we got a blizzard, and it was just, I went, ah. I'm a hardy New Englander. I can do this. I'm just going to get in my car and I'm going to go. I got as far as Brooklyn, Connecticut and turned around and went home. Wow. Because it was just, I saw so many cars off the road, spun out, stuck. And I went, I'm not going to drive all the way to Providence on this and then not be able to get home that night and have to deal with any of that. So I decided that, you know what, I'll risk being yelled at for not showing up. Of course, they didn't show up either because they got caught in horrendous traffic and told me the next day, what's wrong with you people down here? Why can't you drive in snow? Because they're from Canada. They're from Quebec.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, it's just another day. And they said, the drivers are awful down here. It's like, well, yeah, they are. They are. But anyway, so the race, of course, went on. We're not going to stop the race, right? It's a national championship race. So it was the Friday race. So there's a Friday race, a Saturday race, and a Sunday race. And the Friday race was open to kind of like a lot of the stuff that's going on this week. Uh-huh. They've really stretched it out a lot. I don't know if you've noticed that over the years. The Nationals seem to, it used to be like 3 days, then they became 4 days, then they became 5 days. It kind of made them a little bit over the years. But anyway, so a lot of the Masters were racing on Friday. And And it was just, you know, they were riding through just crazy. Couldn't see the rider in front of them. The snow was coming down at 2 or 3 inches an hour. It was intense. And, you know, the crews are out there on the course. They're trying to shovel the course off because, you know, at least get some of the snow off because there's only so much you can handle.
Right, yeah.
And so they were out there, you know, frantically shoveling snow. I think Tommy Stevens was one of those because he designed that course. And you know, he and his buddies were out there. He said they were just killing themselves trying to keep the course clean and couldn't keep up with it. Just couldn't keep up with it at 2 or 3 inches an hour. But then it, you know, the snow stopped and sun came out and it got warm and it all started to melt some, and then it deep froze that night.
Ugh.
So the next morning, they had cleaned up enough of the course so that it had gone down to mud. You know, it was back down a muddy surface with a lot of ruts, okay? And the next morning, they got up, and of course, there's ruts everywhere. And the sun comes out and starts melting it, and then there was like this glaze of soup over the top of the ruts. So you couldn't see the ruts.
Wow.
Okay? And what happened was people were riding into these soupy, muddy areas, which... You know, you see a soupy, muddy area, what do? You just ride into it, just pedal, 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 no big deal, right? Then their front wheel would get caught in a rut, and they were, like, being thrown off their bikes, just slammed down because, you know, you don't know what to expect. You don't know, you can't really fight it.
You can't see it. Yeah.
And you can't see it. So you can't see what it is that's grabbing onto you. It's like there were monsters underneath the mud grabbing onto you and pulling you down. It was a very intense day of racing. I remember seeing guys who are just there shaking their heads and they're hurt, you know, from really slamming hard, and they're slamming onto a frozen surface, which is kind of like being slammed down on concrete. It's not exactly forgiving when you hit, and conditions can change when you add a little snow. So it's always a questionable thing when we're trying to put a nationals on in one of our cold areas. So And of course, obviously, New England is one of those cold areas. So I know that a lot of the races, there was one that was out in, where was it? There was one in Wisconsin one year that turned into like this, like 5 degrees and snowing, nasty thing. It was in Milwaukee, I think, or Madison. It was in Madison because that's a big biking area. And that was, you know, everybody was, you know, complaining about that one. So, the thought was, let's look for areas that are a little bit more temperate, that are not going to be completely frozen in January, since they moved all the nationals into January so that it would prepare people for the Worlds. It was now they were going to move the races further south. And then we saw the disasters that happened down there. I mean, last year it was Asheville, and that was actually a pretty good course, I heard. Did you go to Asheville last year?
No, but a couple teammates went. They said it was a really good course.
I watched the videos online of the course. It looked like a great course. Yeah. It looked like a lot of fun. And they had some nasty off-camber stuff like Hartford has, apparently, on climbs and descents. Yeah. So they had some really tough stuff. But then there was the race in Louisville where the river came up. Do you remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they had a little bit of a flood problem like a couple of days before the race, and so they were putting sandbags up on the edge of the actual race course and trying to keep, you know, hoping they could get through with the race before the flood came over onto the course, which we worry about in Hartford too, because we are sitting right in a major floodplain there. But and then Austin, I don't know what happened in Austin, but no one will ever bring a cross race to Austin ever again.
Huh.
They had no offense out there if you love trees, but apparently there were some tree hugging people that were not real happy about the destruction that was being done around some of their, you know, very cherished trees that were in the park, and there was that going on, and they got torrential rain, which they don't ever get, and it just turned into what you saw yesterday.
Right, yeah.
Quagmire. So a very, very interesting thing. So, you know, you never know what you're going to get with weather, and especially when you get up here in the Northeast, we certainly do have weather, and it could have been a lot worse than what it is right now. So I think we've lucked out, actually. I think we have, like, perfect cross weather.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens when it freezes. The freezing is going to be the problem. So are you around for the big Shimano party on Saturday night and all that? You're going to be around for a few days?
Yeah, possibly. I'm here through the weekend. Not sure what the weekend plans are yet.
Okay. And your next race is on?
Friday.
Friday. Yeah. And what time is your race?
2:50.
Okay. I'll be out there. I think it's the
last race of the day.
Okay.
Or just before the relay race.
I'll definitely be looking for you. This is so cool. My guest today has been Aaron Offsiani from San Francisco, California, formerly from Connecticut, and his mother, Ellen Lang, from Wyndham Center, which is very, very nice to have you guys on today.
Thank you for sitting in, Ellen.
Yeah. It's great. Yeah. This is so cool. When I saw you at the race yesterday, and I'm always trying to think about, okay, what am I going to do for the show tomorrow? How am I going to do this? And I'm looking at it, and I'm, oh my God, I got to ask Aaron to be on the air. This would be great. Because you get a perspective, give me a perspective of what that is like from your end. You know, I'm just watching. Your mom and I are just watching. We're just watching and going, these people are nuts. And
well, it's pretty funny. Like, right after the race, you asked me if I want to be on. I'm like, it's like, what's a radio?
What's a radio? Right, exactly. Well, you know, it's not just that. We have podcasts. Yeah, we have Facebook. Yeah. We have Twitter. We have all these things now. So, anyway, it was really, really great to have you on here. If you get a chance, please get yourself out to the National Championships in Hartford. It is guaranteed entertainment. You will not be disappointed. I guarantee you that. This is, it's probably one of the most phenomenal things you will ever see. If you're curious about it, you can go to my Facebook page and go to Bicycle Talk on Facebook. There is a video there that has gone viral. You will see why people go to cross races to watch and heckle. And yes, you should heckle, and you should bring a cowbell or something to make a lot of noise. Go out there with a plan on getting really enthusiastic. It's a great time. Anyway, you have been listening to Bicycle Talk. My name is Pedlin Ron, and this is a show where we talk about bicycles, the bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar, and whatever happens to pop up. Sometimes we get an occasional guest, which is really, really cool. If you want to reach me, you can reach me by sending an email to bicycletalk1@gmail.com, or you can visit my Facebook page called Bicycle Talk. And please send me a message. And if you'd like to be a guest on the show, please let us know that too. You are listening to 91.7 WHUS Storrs, Connecticut. Keep your rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. Thank you very much for listening.